talk about an unforgettable lesson between a teacher and a student. I think I've shared with you, my aunt once told me that she remembered an unforgettable lesson. I believe it was her geometry teacher or biology or something. She said, "I want you to never forget this." So he went and he stood on top of his desk. And then he said the lesson. And she said, "I'll never forget that." And I said to her, "What was the lesson?" She said, "I forgot." What she didn't forget is what he did. We want to look at a little bit of a teacher, Paul, and what he did, and what happened to a student, and how that affected him. We read about the first day of the week. They were together to break bread. Probably that was to have communion. It's not 100% sure, but a lot of the scholars would suggest that it implies they were probably going to have a meal and then have communion, the Lord's Supper. And Paul didn't have much time, so he just wanted to keep telling the people as much as he could before he left. And the bulk of them wanted to listen. He kept on talking until midnight. Let's take a quick poll. How many of you want me to keep on talking till midnight? Okay, we have two. They probably have a more comfortable place than others. A few. Now, adding to that, there were many lamps in the upstairs room. The heat tends to go up to the upstairs room, and you have the lamps there. And if there are many of them, of course, those were oil lamps. So the room would go hot and stuffy. And most of the people would have been seated on the floor. And like around him. It's kind of like when Nancy Wooster's here and the little kids just in golf, or when we had some of the art lessons, and we let them come up close, they do. So most of them would have been there. But Eutychus would have been at the equivalent of one of those windows. But they don't open because of Eutychus. We don't want you falling out. And so he's seated in a windowsill. There probably literally wasn't a window, but there was an opening. And he's seated there. And what we observe is that he's essentially halfway in the church and halfway out. A lot of us are like that when we're young. We're sort of committed to church and we're sort of not, and we're trying to figure out where we belong. And so we sit in this halfway position. The name Eutychus means fortunate. It may have come from a fairly well-to-do family. And he's trying to take Paul in. And he's probably, I'm sure glad that you all never do this. He's probably half looking at Paul. What's the other half of him doing? Looking out the window. And it's real tempting. I can remember in college, the seats in the lecture halls near the doorways were always at a premium. Because it seemed miraculously, by the end of a dull lecture, there were less people there. I don't fully understand that, but and I should, because I was seated there also. And there's this sense of trying to find himself and not being terribly enthralled, probably, by the lecture. And it goes on to say that he not only fell into sleep, but a deep sleep. And as Bert said, and Paul went on and on. I may test you later. Say, what did Paul do? And then he'll look at me and go, on and on. When I was in college, by the way, we used to have to take a 5-credit course that meant 5 days a week. And because we're a freshman, they punished us. And it was a 7:30 a.m. course. And we were much better at night than in the morning. And I can remember we'd go to this course, and the lecturer would go on and on. And my friend Tom Tobias, he fell asleep. And he not only fell asleep, he not only fell into a deep sleep, he didn't fall out the window. But what's something maybe that your husband does when he falls into a deep sleep? He's snored. Now, fortunately, this guy fell out the window, I guess. Maybe not so fortunate. Now, he was in that place of danger by being half in and half out. If he had been on the floor as the others were, he would have sort of maybe fallen asleep and bounced against someone, and someone would have done like our wives do. Fortunately, I'm preaching, so I don't have much chance to fall asleep, because Anne has really sharp elbows. But there is a danger in halfway commitment. There's a danger in not fully understanding. It's not necessarily bad, it's just part of life, but it's dangerous as we seek God and aren't quite there. So when he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground. Shortening that, it says, when he fell. Not just the young man, but each of us. Perhaps it won't fit some of you here, but for most of us, it is not if we will fall. It is when we will fall. Something will happen in our lives, and we'll fall out of the presence of God for a while. We'll fall in a way that we feel estranged from the body, or left out, or even distant from God. In life, in this hard world we live in, there comes a time when virtually all of us fall. It's different levels, different shapes, different forms, but we fall. And it's not a good time. It's a painful time, and very often it feels like a desperate time. In fact, the people, as this guy fell, he fell from the third story. And they were sure that he was dead. So when we fall, there can be the temptation to give up. There can be the temptation as a church to give up on those who fall away. It's a real part of life that we're all going to fall on some level in some place. He's the student, and he's fallen, and he's either dead or as good as dead. The scholars argue whether he was dead and Paul rose him from the dead by the grace of God, or if he was almost dead. But Paul didn't give up on him. It says that Paul went down, threw himself on the young man and put his arms around him. And Paul is the model teacher. The teacher for whom, when you disappoint them, by the way, most of us have disappointed people that were special in our lives. Our moms, our dads, our teachers, our Sunday school teachers, people that had an impact on our life, and part of the fall sometimes is we disappoint them. It is at that point that the teacher is truly tested. And Paul more than passed the test. He stopped talking immediately, if only for a while. He wasn't a preacher. But he raced down the steps and he embraced the man. The test of our faith, the test of the church, is how promptly, how compassionately we will reach out to those who fall down. Even in our own families, there are times that people hurt us so much that I've heard people say, well, if you go out that door, don't ever come back. Eutychus went out the window, and Paul raced to him. Paul embraced him, and Paul executed or facilitated the faith in Christ that he had. In essence, called the person to come alive again. Now, whether he was dead or as good as dead or whatever you want to argue, in the compassionate embrace of the body of Christ, he came alive. He came alive. The impact of this message is a couple particular challenges. When we fall down, it is a call for us not to stay down, not to give up when it happens to us. It is to receive the ministry of those who care. And when those we care for fall, we are called in compassion to go to them and lift them up. And we're called to exercise faith that Christ is greater than the problems that face them. Are we willing to embrace those who disappoint us? I don't care why. Are we willing to embrace those that have fallen? Are we willing to exercise our faith to believe that God is not finished with them yet? So Paul says, don't be alarmed. He is alive. The guy gets up alive. They go back upstairs. Now Paul's still a preacher. So he went on and on until the morning. And when they went upstairs, it says, and broke bread. says in Corinthians, after giving thanks, and they had a lot to be thankful for. He broke the bread. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. He took the cup. This cup is the new cup. It's the promise in my blood shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. It is the new beginning. And we come to celebrate what God has done upon a cross, which we remember in the meal, and we remember in our lives. Would you do me a kindness now and just bow your heads for a minute and think of someone or even yourself when you felt like you'd fallen, when you felt broken. And someone came and embraced you with the love of God, lifted you with the love of God, and began a healing of transformation in your life. And if you still feel that way, God would embrace you